Good morning. Thank you, Barbara, for the introduction, and a special thanks to Pastor Stacy for allowing me to be here on this very suitable day, United Methodist Women's Sunday. So I am Director of Development for David and Margaret Youth and Family Services. Our agency is a comprehensive social services agency that focuses on caring for adolescent at-risk girls 11 through 19. We're located in the city of Luverne in the northeast corner of Los Angeles County, bordering, Claremont, Glendora, and Pomona. We have 18 acres of land, and we've been in our present location since 1925. So the connection with United Methodist community in general, but more specifically United Methodist women, dates back to 1910. When Henry Kuntz, president of First National Bank and member of United Methodist Church, donated a hotel to establish an orphanage. And we are one of, one of your national mission institution missions. So my presentation today is entitled David and Margaret Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. As I mentioned, Henry Kuntz donated a hotel, the Luverne Hotel, to the United Methodist Women's Group back in 1910. Back then, the city of Luverne wasn't known as Luverne yet, it was called Lordsburg. And we expected a building boom in the area back then with the building of the railroad, and we expected there to be a train station that never came, so these two hotels sat empty. This is Henry Kuntz. The condition for the gift to the United Methodist women was, number one, that his donation would be to serve at-risk children, and number two, that the agency would be named after his father and deceased son, David, and his mother, Margaret. And so in 1910, the United Methodist women ran the orphanage. We served children, boys and girls, ages 2 to 12 that year. I believe that we served up to 90 kids that in our first year. So as you can see down on the bottom left, that's the original Luverne Hotel. Bottom right is the Lordsburg Hotel. The Luverne Hotel went on to be David and Margaret Home for Children, and Lordsburg Hotel was established as the Lordsburg Academy, which is today the University of Luverne. Mr. Kuntz's father was also one of the founding trustees of Lordsburg Academy, which it was known back then. So after 15 years of the children living in the big Victorian wooden structure, they had to move because it became uninhabitable. It was a wooden structure, and we believe that it was infested with termites. And so the children, so then Mr. Kuntz came back to the rescue and donated 17 and a half acres of property and the funds necessary to build the building that you're looking at there. That's our Whitney building. And that building served as the orphanage for the next 40 years. The Lordsburg Hotel went on to be University of Luverne, and that's a picture right there of the modern day University of Luverne. These are the two oldest institutions in town, and the community pretty much grew up around these two institutions. Inauguration Day was in 1910. This is an actual picture of the old hotel. It was a big deal in Luverne. There was some newspaper coverage. That's the actual group on Inauguration Day. There was 90 children that we helped that year, and with the help and support of United Methodist women, to whom we owe our existence today. So by the time the hotel became uninhabitable, that's an actual picture of the children. So the children had to move out, and there's this strong sense of community in Luverne with David and Margaret. During the transition between the old building and the new building, the children were farmed out to the kids, to the families in the community, so they lived in private homes while the new building was being built. That's a newspaper clipping of opening day, and that's Mr. and Mrs. Henry Kuntz. So the children lived in the Whitney building, in the building that you're seeing behind, for the next 40 years. So in the 1960s, the orphanage system started to change. Instead of having kids in an institutional environment, the thought was that they should live more in a home-like environment so that they can start getting used to living in a home in an actual home-like environment, and they would one day aspire to have the same things as adults. So the children transitioned out of the big building into these residential cottages. So there's five bedrooms to each cottage, and we can house up to 10 girls in each cottage. And on campus, there's seven cottages, each having their own focus and their own specialty. We actually have one that is a substance abuse recovery unit that's licensed through the state of California. And we also have an emergency shelter cottage. That's a view from the street. The Whitney building in the back is now an administration building, housing the office of our executive director, development, finance. The building closer to us is the cafeteria. The children eat not only in the individual cottages, but they also have meals in the cafeteria. And there's another shot of the Whitney building. In the Whitney building, there's actually a store. I'd invite you guys, if anybody is interested in a tour of our campus, 17 and a half acres, the store is one of the highlights. We sell brand new items. I describe it as a mini Target because they sell everything from food and clothing, hardware, all sorts of things. And it's all brand new, deeply discounted, and all proceeds support our programs and services. And there's a list. There's 17 different programs and services ranging from adoption to emergency shelter. We're building a new cafe where our clients can go and work and get work experience, not only through customer service, but also understanding what it takes to run a full service cafe. That's our executive director, Charles Rich, who started out as a social worker and worked his way up to executive director. He's been with the agency for 35 years. That's the layout of our campus. 17 and a half acres. The buildings that you see on top and bottom are the residential cottages. In the center, we have our cafeteria. Behind it is our recreation building. There's arts and crafts, ceramics, woodworking, all sorts of different recreational activities happen there. Right behind there, that is a swimming pool. Off to the left, that large structure is the white Whitney building that I described. And over on the top, that's the top left side, we have our Joan Macy School, and I'll talk a little bit more about our school in just a moment. And that's a visual of our campus. The bottom picture is the horseshoe. It's a circular drive around our campus that's lined with camphor trees. Those trees were planted by design. It provides this soothing sort of calm environment. And the founders actually envisioned the kids playing in the trees. They're all low trunk trees to enable the kids to be able to climb in the trees. But nowadays we don't encourage that for liability reasons. So one of the big needs that we have on campus is we need more and more foster parents. Our goal is for the girls to live on campus the shortest time possible. We'd like to either, number one, reunite them with their families. If they don't have families, we want to pair them with foster parents or adoption or find some sort of solution so they're not at David and Margaret for too long. The average time that our clients stay on campus is about 6 months, and we serve over 1,000 clients every year. One of the biggest holes in the system was transitional age youth, services for transitional age youth. And what that means is that when foster kids turn 18, they begin to lose their foster support, and they're expected to go out into the community and find jobs and housing. But for the kids that we serve, and for even kids in the best of the circumstances, it's really difficult to transition into a productive adult life. And expect to make it. And so, as you might imagine, our clients are mostly girls on campus, and they're a target for sexual trafficking and prostitution. And so David and Margaret came up with a way to fill that gap in the system, and I'll elaborate just in a second. Another one of the programs that we have a big focus on nowadays is something called CSEC, which means commercial sexual exploitation of children. And in Southern California, unfortunately, we have a big problem with the sex trade because of the trucking routes. And as you can imagine, our girls are a target for that and often fall prey to that. So we have this program on campus that is advocacy, prevention, recovery, everything that a girl exposed to that or vulnerable to that might need in order to take a different path in life. Another one of our interesting programs is our Learning Enhancement Center. So we work with not only our kids, but we also work with kids in the community. And we work with kids that have learning disabilities, and the center trains the kids to rewire their brain. It's very interesting. There was a situation recently that I knew about. There was a child that had a cyst in their brain, and what the center helped to do was to create new neurological paths to circumvent that area so that they can improve their learning, and it was life transforming. The Joan Macy School is a non-public school, and what that means is, number one, it's a school of last resort. So if the kids aren't, we encourage the kids to go to school in the community, but if they're not able to make it there, then they're enrolled in Joan Macy School. A non-public school meaning that the curriculum is tailored to the individual needs, and the school doesn't have to conform to the curriculum in public schools, because as you might imagine, the students that come to David and Margaret have a long list of challenges, and this school helps to tailor learning according to individual needs. Another one of our program helps kids that have been separated through their, undocumented kids that have been separated through their parents, either because they've been deported or they arrive here on their own, they're trafficked up to the United States on their own, kids 11, as young as 11. And what the agency tries to do is figure out what their immigration status is and works really hard to get them reunited with their parents or families. Like I mentioned, the David and Margaret Bargain Boutique is a nonprofit store. There's this culture of sustainability at David and Margaret while teaching the children vocational skills. So the kids can work in the store and get customer service and understanding of how a retail operation operates. And this culture of sustainability extends back to when the property was a working farm. So the kids would work the land, they would tend the crops and the chickens and the cows, and they would sell milk and eggs and produce out in the community. And that helped the agency sustain itself through some very difficult times. We were established around the First World War. We went through the Depression, the Second World War. So, and at that time, there wasn't a safety net for orphan kids. And so our spirit of sustainability helped us get through those hard times. So I've talked about David and Margaret's past, what we're doing today with our different programs and services. And now we're beginning a new chapter in David and Margaret's history through the Campaign for David and Margaret. And what we're trying to achieve is to fill that gap that I just talked about for transitional age youth. We're building housing and creating programs to address that need. So the yellow part that you're seeing there, just on the bottom left, is those are 36 transitional housing units, 1, 2, and 3 bedroom apartments for kids that age out. They can now live in those apartments as long as they need to. There's conditions attached. They need to work, pay a portion of their income to David and Margaret. And over on the right side is the new workforce training center. So the store is going to be moved there. There's going to be a cafe and a training lab where kids can learn life skills, job skills, learn to interview, how to dress for an interview. We have members of the community come out and give workshops to say if somebody's in banking, we have a banking executive come out and give a presentation of what's needed to get a job in a bank. And oftentimes they help us to place our clients within their organizations. So this is the new chapter. We're filling in a gap. This is not only helps prevent negative outcomes like human trafficking, prostitution, but it also helps to prevent making the homelessness problem in Southern California even worse than it already is. And that's a sketch of what, this is Cedar Springs, that's the transitional supportive housing that I just mentioned, the white building with the arches, that's a community center where our clients can just socialize. It gives them a place where they can hang out in a safe, nurturing environment and prevents them from going out and getting into trouble, essentially. That's our workforce training center that's going to house the store, the cafe, and the training and the workforce training lab. Essentially, there's going to be computer terminals, a classroom, all of this to give kids that are transitioning into adulthood the proper life skills, workforce skills, any support that they need in order to make a successful transition into adulthood. We're also upgrading our infrastructures. Our cottages were built in the 60s, so we need new bathrooms, new flooring, new furniture, and the campaign is addressing that, as well as the Whitney building needs to, it's 90s plus years old, and so there's things to the building that needs to be refurbished, and we're building a new chapel in that same building as well. We're also raising funds for an endowment, and we're getting really close. An endowment is essentially a bank account that's the funds are deposited there forever, and the interest that this this amount of money in locked in this to the endowment account, that the interest that it generates every year is going to help us sustain the agency in the long term. It's a $24.5 million campaign, and to date we've raised close to $22 million, so we're getting closer and closer. So aside from everything that David and Margaret does, the 17 different programs and services addressing mental health needs, medical needs, spiritual needs, through our chaplain Gail, recreation, the biggest takeaway that we can give these girls is hope, because they come from very disturbing backgrounds, and it's very unfortunate that kids this age have to be faced with the kind of realities that they do face. And through this collaborative efforts with the professionals that we have on campus and the support of the community, the biggest and most important thing that we offer our clients is hope. And with hope, you can do anything. So I want to thank you once again for allowing Gail and I to come out and share more about one of your institution missions, raise awareness about who we are. A lot of people don't know who we are, and United Methodist women don't realize that it was through your hard work of your predecessors and your dedication and your love for disadvantaged children is that we exist today. So again, thank you very much for allowing me to be here. It's been a great pleasure to speak to you about what we do at David and Margaret Youth and Family Services. Thank you.